our colleagues from Boxu South Africa and from SAIDS, and then our own department. You are all welcome after 10 days of mourning of our mother, national figure. We're hoping that you were all there. I've seen the stadium was packed full. We've put her in her grave. Hoping that we'll all hear about former Minister Zola Skweyiya, that he also passed on. Can the committee rise and observe the silence of moment of silence of Honorable former Minister Skweyiya? But I'm better off. We're going to start with apologies that are written in front of me in order you must know who's here and who's not here. With us, we have an apology of Deputy Minister, has got another engagement of government, and another apology is from Mr. Gallant, who's supposed to lead in the presentation of faith. We've accepted because he sent other leaders in that entity, and we have also an apology of an alternate member from IFP, Mr. K.P. Sithole, and I don't have any other written apologies. Because I cannot tell you about verbal apologies. I'm talking about the written apologies. I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Radikom.
Madam Chair, to just indicate that Honorable Musi indicated this morning that he'll be here around 11 to 12. And then Honorable Bones for this serves in two committees and they are clashing. So he indicated that he'll start at the other one and then in the afternoon he'll join us here.
I'm suspecting, as a norm, want written apologies. So we must not take that as a whip of the committee. Everyone must have a written apology. But I'm suspecting the one of this member who's serving in one's cluster, we need to tell the whip that it must be looked at. Honorable Manana, she has been redeployed to Mpumalanga and replaced by Honorable Bhutis, who's also sitting in one committee, which is in cluster called Social Cluster. So I'm suspecting it's a mistake which needs to be corrected. I've seen one of Honorable Muteka also. It's a written apology. I've already welcomed you, honorable members. Our agenda is in front of us, and I would love that you must adopt this agenda as it presented in front of us. An acceptance of agenda. Honorable Bev.
Good morning. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I propose to adopt the agenda as is. Thank you.
Thank you. And a second. I'm suspecting that it's our last APP as this collective. I wish that... I wish that our aims and what objectives by this time will be achieved. I don't know, because we're saying that we want to leave the legacy of achieving some other things, but we'll hear when we're all presenting whether are we doing the best which we wished all to do. I'm taking this opportunity again to welcome you, Minister and Department, and now we'll be wanting that Boxing South Africa must table their performance and plans according to the agenda. Who's in place of Boxing South Africa, because I don't see their principals, or am I wrong? Boxing South Africa.
Good morning, Chair. Chair, I think the point you made about written apologies, we have requested the office to send Dr. Ngatane's apology. Unfortunately, he was supposed to be with us today, but he's because of travel arrangements to Kenya, where he's attending an ABU training seminar. He unfortunately thought that he would be able to leave after this meeting, but it appeared this morning he's unable. He has requested a fellow board member, Mr. Khulile Khadu, who is also chairperson of the Sanction Committee, to assist us in that regard. And there is also a written apology that has been emailed to the secretariat to that effect. But admittedly, that happened this morning because the problem could not be anticipated of his travel arrangements to Kenya. So leading the delegation from Boxing South Africa today, chairperson is Mr. Khulile Khadu, who is to my left. He's a board member.
Thank you so much, but especially your good self, you know the procedure that when the leader is not going to attend, we need a formal apology. But as you are saying that you were thinking that he's going to come and leave us lately, we do accept that apology because we cannot get hold of him. To you, Mr. Khadu, can you take us through?
Thank you, Chair. At the risk of repeating what has already been said, I will restate that my name is Khulile Khadu and I'm a board member at Boxing South Africa. As we all know, Chair, the current board was appointed on a 3-year term, effective from the 14th of December 2017. In line with Section 9 of the Boxing Act of 2001. On the dates 23rd and 24th February this year, the board had its strategic review sessions where principally noted that the introduction of all board members we need the creation of a common strategic understanding in respect of the mandate and due operation. And we also realize that we need to articulate a clear agenda with regard to the key areas of accomplishment the board seeks to achieve within the next three years. Chair, also I must mention there's an issue of protocol that I've just skipped here. I have to acknowledge the presence of the minister in the house, Chair. Sorry for the for missing that point. And I'm also, Chair, saying that we also said we need to review this BSA strategic plan and also the APP. We also realized that we need a final review of the handover report and the integration of critical issues arising from the handover report into the 2018-2019 APP. Lastly, Chair, we also spoke about the confirmation of delegations of responsibilities amongst us as board members and the deployment of board members to specific board subcommittees. At this point, Chair, I'd like the CEO to take us through the highlights of the 2017-2018 year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Pleasure, CEO.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, because the presentation was sent, I'm not sure if members do have copies with. I thought that it would be pinged, but if the chairperson allows, we'll just speak to the hard copies as is. Chairperson, this is the first interaction that we are having with the committee since the appointment of the new board. I think the last time when we were here, the delegation was led by Mayor Ntambira Vele. As Ntate Kgadu has already spoken, the board is now led by Dr. Ngatane, who was appointed together with the rest of the members on the 14th of December. Chair, on the second page of the presentation, on the third slide, we going through some of the highlights of the period under review, which in this case will really be the period 1st of April 2017 to the 31st of March 2018. Some of the incidents that stands out, we had a successful event of the boxing awards that took place on the 2nd of February at the boardwalk in Port Elizabeth. This is one of our recognition and reward programs which we do in line with the National Sport and Recreation Plan. We've also, Chairperson, had a total of 78 tournaments which we sanctioned during the period under review. This, Chairperson, constitute an increase of at least about three tournaments when you compare it to the previous financial year. But last year itself was a decline because if you recall, the year preceding that we had 89 tournaments. But we had indicated to the portfolio committee that we were not happy with the quality of some of the tournaments that we sanctioned. And hence, as we tightened the quality, the numbers dropped from 89 to 75. We're starting now to see the change in graph where the growth is picking up again. But qualitatively, we are happy that as we gain the numbers, these are the numbers that are pretty much tournaments that are compliant. Chairperson, I think one of the moments that stands out, and this is what resonated with a lot of South Africans, in April 2017, we got our first world champion in the four major governing bodies when Zolani Tete won the WBO bantamweight in April. He subsequently defended it in November against a fellow South African at Belfast, Sboniso Konya, making history by the sixth second stoppage. He knocked him out on the sixth second. By 11th second, the fight was over. But that was it was history in the making because it was the first time in a world title fight that such happened. So that stands out. But why does it stand out? You remember, Chairperson, that we've got six major world governing bodies. You've got the WBC, WBA, WBO, and IBF. And then you have the fifth one, the IBO and the WBF. Currently, South Africa is doing well in the WBF, is doing well in the WBO, in the IBO, but we have not been doing that well with regard to champions in the four major world governing bodies. As we speak today, Chairperson, we can also announce confidently that we have been given another shot in July. Muruti Mthalani will be contesting for a WBO, for an IBF world title. So you can see that we are now starting to move into the major league where the biggest glory in boxing is at. In August, Chairperson, 2017, we also had a program which you called Women in Boxing. This, in this case, it was the highlight of that program through tournaments delivered by female promoters featuring predominantly female bouts. So that took place in August, and we'll also be bringing back that program again this year. And the tournament part of it, Chairperson, is not the program in its entirety. It's but the highlight of what we do when we celebrate women in boxing. Chairperson, you'll recall when we started the financial year, we were still housed at the National Department of Sport and Recreation. We didn't have offices. During the period 2017-18, in April, we moved to our new premises, which is part of our program to strengthen internal capacity of boxing South Africa. And lastly, under highlights, Chairperson, we are currently seized with the preparations for what we call the SADC Professional Boxing Convention. We will expatiate a bit more again on this program when we come towards the end of the presentation, Chair, but we are afoot, the preparations are afoot to have that program taking place from the 23rd to the 27th of May, now 2018. The next slide, Chairperson, which is really a depiction of the 78 tournaments that we had during the period under review. There are interesting dynamics, Chair. I know that most people like to say that Eastern Cape is the mecca of boxing, particularly in Mdantsane. But when you look at this slide, it starts to show you a growing activity of boxing in Gauteng and a decline in the Eastern Cape. This is a bit of a worrying trend, Chairperson. And when you look at it deeper, it is because Eastern Cape is mostly dependent on government intervention for sponsorship. So the extent to which the provincial department, the province, the extent to which the municipal councils assist in boxing are the ones that can turn this tide around. So Eastern Cape is sitting at 12 tournaments. Western Cape is starting to, you're starting to see a bit of growth there because we add 14 tournaments. Again, another thing, Chairperson, the Free State and the and Limpopo, boxing is starting again to take up there. And that is predominantly because of the role which is played by the provincial departments through the MECs in those spaces. So I think this picture just elaborates the observation that we made earlier on of 78 tournaments. Chairperson, the next slide, which I will request with your permission to go through them a bit swiftly, are the strategic overview. Nothing has changed with regard to the vision, the mission, and the legislative mandate of Boxing South Africa as it was previously presented to the board, to the portfolio committee. Our strategic goals, Chairperson, for the 5 years, 2015-2020, are still three. The first goal is to have effective and sustainable environment. The second goal, to have a transformed and regulated environment. And the third one is our marketing, communication, and stakeholder management activities. So that is on page 5 of the presentation. We're just reinstating those three strategic goals. And that is what informs the three program areas which underpins our annual performance plan. Our three program areas, the first one is governance and administration. The second one is boxing development. And the third one is boxing promotion. And I think, Chairperson, on page 6, we then expatiate the program purpose of each one of those program areas. And then the slide on page 6, strategic objectives. You will recall, when you go through this strategic objective, Chairperson, we actually have got 19 strategic objectives in terms of the strategic plan. But in the past, the annual performance plan of the previous year, not all those strategic objectives were factored into the annual performance plan. Because you'll recall that when the board started in 2014, most of the challenges that faced the board required that the board's focus must be highly operational, because you didn't have back then senior management like your CEO, CFO, and the COO. That area has been strengthened now and stabilized. And you'll see that our focus is starting to be strategic again. So there are strategic objectives that have been lifted out of the strategic plan and put into the strategic, into the annual performance plan. For example, our area on health and safety. In the past, we didn't have the strategic objective on health and safety. We have flagged it out of the strategic plan because going towards the end of the 5th year, we are also trying to ensure that all the commitments that we said we will achieve during the period of 5 years, we achieve that. Hence, We've now went back to our strategic objectives that are in the strategic plan and looked at which areas had we not been focusing on so that we put them back into the strategic, into the annual performance plan. The organizational structure, Chairperson, as it is known, Boxing South Africa is still a small bureaucracy of only 14 people, and nothing has changed with regard to that. I will then, Chairperson, move into what is contained in the annual performance plan, which is, I think, the last segment of the presentation before the CFO comes and speaks to the budget. As I've already indicated, Chairperson, we've got three program areas, and we've got 17 strategic objectives. Out of the 17 strategic objectives, the new strategic objectives that we have put are the following. The first one is legislative review. Chairperson, for a long time we've been lamenting the fact that our boxing regulation needs to be reviewed to be strengthened. We have had also mentioned that the Boxing Act itself needs to be reviewed. But out of the discussions with the department, because of the work that is ongoing in respect of the sport combat sport bill, we will not be looking into the Act, but during this period we will be looking at the regulations. There are a lot of areas in the regulations itself that needs to be reviewed, and this is now one of the new workload that we've now put in the annual performance plan for 2018-2019. The second one, Chairperson, is on health and safety. The aspects of health and safety in boxing are an ever-increasing impediment which we need to put focus on. We have established in November 2017 a boxing medical commission, which is led by a chief medical officer, Dr. Selepe. Through that, Chairperson, we're trying to increase our compliance with the POPI Act so that non-medical practitioners must not handle medical records. Because at this moment, when a boxer needs to take blood, he goes to a laboratory, he gets his results, the results go through a provincial manager to the office and to the board, which ultimately approve that. So to make sure that we clean that tunnel, we've set up this medical commission. We've already set up systems to ensure that the new licensing season, we don't have that type of operational activity where medical records have to be handled by non-medical practitioners. But at the same time, again, Chairperson, there are a lot of pre-medical assessments that have to be done before licensing, but also before sanctioning. So that strategic objective of health and safety is what assists us. The third one is funding model. In terms of our strategic plan, Chairperson, we are supposed to have a funding model for boxing, something which the department refers to as a case for sport. We do not have a similar document that speaks about a case for boxing. So that funding model, the third strategic objective, is what we've now been requested by the board that we must bring in. And then the last one is partnership and agreements with other boxing sanction bodies. Because at the moment, boxing South Africa never really travels. I mean, in the past 3 years, we've not had any direct interaction between Boxing South Africa and any of your world governing bodies, WBC, WBA, all the conventions, we don't go there. It means we do not influence the policy and the discourse at a global level on boxing. So this is another third area where the board has said we must start doing that work. But what we've scaled it down to at the moment, we have limited it to a regional level. That is why in the beginning, Chair, I was talking about that SADC professional boxing seminar, where we want to first integrate the region before we can start interacting with the world in entirety. Chairperson, to get into a little bit now of the detail, we've got 21 performance indicators. Under governance and administration, we've got three strategic objectives with about, for this current period, with about six performance indicators. And then on boxing development, we've got 13 strategic objectives with nine indicators. On boxing promotion, we now actually show it's five strategic objectives. So when you look at it, Chairperson, our major strategic objectives are on boxing development, which means that while we were doing a lot of work on governance and administration, our focus is now shifting towards programs, which is boxing development. So there's a lot of work which in the next season we now hope to start doing around boxing development. The next table, Chairperson, Program 1, Governance and Administration. The four things that we need to do: strengthening governance and oversight, improved administrative capacity, stakeholder engagement framework, and legislative review. The new element there is this one of legislative review, which I've already explained. That is the new thing that we'll then be doing during the period 2018-2019. On program two, boxing development, we'll still be continuing, Chairperson, with our program of training licensees, with our program on women in boxing, and the transversal work of compliance and enforcement, because that's the one area which in the past we used to do relatively poor on, to ensure that we enforce compliance. And among others, we've got a working and functional disciplinary mechanism that is able to punish where there is non-compliance, but also early warning systems to detect areas of non-compliance. Our sanctions and rating work, that still continues. As I've indicated, in the past year, we sanctioned about 78, a total of 78 tournaments. On a monthly basis, we issue ratings, which is another critical area that is the lifeblood of boxing. With regards to national coverage, Chairperson, that detail of national coverage, one is able to pick it up on licensing. When we license, we cover the whole South Africa. In the past, we didn't have licensees in Northern Cape, but we're still not doing very well on there, Chair, because in the past year, we haven't had a single boxing tournament in the Northern Cape. In the past, we didn't have licensees. We also didn't have boxing tournaments. At the moment now, we have licensees, but boxing tournaments have not started to happen. So as part of our stakeholder engagement, we will then be engaging with the provincial department of sport in the Northern Cape to instigate that there must be support for our promoters in there. I've already spoken, Chairperson, to the aspect of health and safety and partnership agreements with other boxing world governing bodies. The last program area, Chairperson, is the program area on boxing promotion. This speaks to our marketing, our communication, but also the broadcast of boxing. Marketing and sanction, implementation of our marketing and sanction communication strategy, but also another area, Chairperson, is the area of boxing sponsorship, which is the work that we continue to do. I think in the past year, we continue to still receive sponsorship, but our sponsorship is still not at a level that we would love it to be, because it's mostly sponsorship linked to programs, but also not at relatively large quantums. And then under event coordination, Chairperson, this accounts for the programs that we do, the tournaments that we do on women in boxing, but also the tournaments, our program on SA Boxing Awards. That is part of what we do under boxing promotion. Revenue generation, I've already spoken to that, and the funding model, which we said that is the new workload that we'll then be doing. As I come closer to the end, Chairperson, I'll just reflect on what we say are our priority programs for the next period. The issue of licensing, ratings, and sanction. Chairperson, this still remains extremely critical, because if you do not have licensees, you do not have practitioners that peddle the system. So our licensing season, to get our licensees used to the requirements for them to license on time. This is the one area that we continue to pay attention to. The example that I did of how the medical commission work fit into this speaks to the total package of work that we are doing to ensure that we continue to improve our licensing system. Last year, Chairperson, we had 1,208 licensees. I think in the current year, we're looking at that number again continuing to grow beyond that. But because the season is still open, we still don't have the finite number of how many licensees we actually will have during 2018-2019. That information will be available on the 31st of May. The ratings, like I've indicated, Chairperson, this used to be a problem before 2013. But at the moment, issues of ratings is a natural thing that happens every month. We issue out ratings both for the male boxers as well as the female boxers. And then sanctioning, and Dr. Khadu, who's sitting next to me, coincidentally, he's also the chairperson of the sanction committee. And they continue to ensure that tournaments are sanctioned appropriately. On boxing awards, Chairperson, we're looking at hosting it, what will be the third edition of the boxing awards after we brought them back subsequent to a six-year lull of boxing awards. That will take place in the first Friday of 2019, February, because that is the date that we keep on, the first Friday of February 2019. the Africa Month Boxing Seminar. Chairperson, in a nutshell, this program is a program through which we want to strengthen relations with the SADC, with boxing commissions in the SADC region. So we have extended invitation to all the boxing commissions within the region. And then on the 24th and the 25th, we'll have what is called in boxing terms a boxing convention. The content or subject matter of the convention will be basically to look at boxing governance and administration. Because remember, Chair, even if South Africa can tighten its systems, but if Zimbabwe is weak or Swaziland is weak, you find most of our boxers that go out to fight in the region, they fight under the auspices of boxing commissions whose systems are suspect. So we want, as much as we strengthen our own systems within the country, but also to strengthen the region. So this convention will be taking place in May. It will take place as part of our May month, Africa month celebration. Obviously, in response to national priorities, it will also speak to the centenary of Nelson Mandela, as well as Mama Albertina Sisulu, through the work that we're doing on women empowerment. That will be that. Chairperson, at some point, we were in Namibia, and it was interesting, Chairperson, to note that you still have got boxing commissions in the region where the girl child is not allowed to fight in professional boxing, despite the fact that in amateur boxing they are allowed to fight. So it means our work within the region is still cut out to try and assist them to step up their system, to come to power with us, but also to grow together. So that program will take place there. Our plan is that on Friday evening, which is the Friday of the 25th, we'll also have a boxing tournament which will be celebrating regional integration. So this will be a boxing tournament whose bill will basically reflect the various countries that will be participating in the convention. So I think we're looking forward to that, Chairperson, being one of the major flagship programs that we'll then be doing in the month of May. I've already spoken, Chairperson, to our program of Women in Boxing, which is not only about hosting tournament, but also about leveling the playing field for the for gender empowerment to take course within the ranks of boxing across its entire value chain. So while there is an event part of this program, but also other programs are systemic. Others are just through protocols that must make it easy for female promoters, female ring officials, trainers and managers to grow and swell the ranks of boxing South Africa. There's also ongoing work that we do to support our associations, Chairperson. We haven't done much of this work in the last semester of the previous financial year. But when we start now in the new financial year, we will be doing training in June of our licensees and assisting them to continue to form associations, which basically are like unions. And then boxing information provision, Chair, is basically to our work that we do to ensure that our website becomes a center and a body of knowledge for anybody that wants to get a sense of what is happening in boxing. So we continue to grow that aspect. And then the last one is our training and capacity work. So Chairperson, before I wrap up with challenges, I will request through you that the CFO must just speak to the budget in a nutshell. CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will quickly speak to the estimate that we provided of the national expenditure for 2018-2019. In terms of Section 15 of the Boxing Act, the Boxing SA can raise funds by getting money appropriated by Parliament and by getting fees payable to Boxing SA in terms of the Boxing Act, by getting grants or donations and bequests made to BSA, or by getting income and on surplus money invested by BSA. And lastly is money generated from sponsorship and fundraising. Just to give projections of revenue, Chair, the about 81.7% of the total grant money received is money that we get from SRSA. I think the sonographer on our part, Chairperson, I realize that the presentation does not have this particular slide of the budget. If we may require that we provide this particular slide, specifically on the budget.
You omitted a very important part while you are here. I don't know why you are not having it. Please give it to Ms. Mahlanyan to print it out.
Okay,
if you have a copy, you don't have it as you are speaking.
No, we'll do that.
Continue.
Yes.
Chair, I apologize, I'm late. But Chair, it is unfair for us to do an oversight, but especially there's performance now, good budget, we don't know, we must know exactly what does it align to. Because can I propose that we get the copies? You cannot present something that we're not aware of. Unless it's there on the, it's not even there, we cannot follow, honestly.
Are you going to put it on the screen? Are you able to do that? Because if we don't have copies and you don't put in the screen, we'll be just talking to yourselves.
Sorry, Chair, for I don't know whether I can resume. May I continue, Chair? This is the slide that I was referring to. At the present moment, we're getting about 81%, which is the bigger chunk of the money that BSA has, is the money that they get as a grant from the department. And the other projections that we have made is that we are projecting that we'll get sanctioning fees of around 2.1 million, which constitute only 14%. And the other projections that we have, sanctioning fees is the money that we recalculate for sanctionings of tournaments. And then we have the amount of the licensing fees, which constitute only 3.1%. The other money that we have is interest, which is approximately 0.31%. It's about the percentage. And lastly is fines, penalties, and forfeiture money. When in sometimes in boxing, when the boxer is overweight or the boxer doesn't, we fine them. And this money also constitute around 0.17%. And these are the projections that we have, Chair, of the monies that we have as BSA as part of revenue. The other part of the presentation, Chair, it just showing the monies that we have received over the years, over the medium term expenditure estimates and the projections going forward. So the details of the presentation will provide the entire presentation to the office for those things. But as we speak, for 2018-19, that is the total money that we are going to receive as Boxing SA.
How much is 12.2 million.
It's 12.2 million.
That's from tax funds.
That's money voted in terms of the PFMA. I'm sorry. So the rest of the presentation will be provided, Chair Brown. When we go to the allocation of expenditure.
Excuse me, what are you saying exactly? We're trying to look at your screen. We don't see what you are talking about, and we are saying now the rest is going to be shown when.
On the yellow part, the first column, the yellow column, Chair, it is the projections that we have for 2018, 2019, and 2020. The projections that we have in terms of money appropriated at the moment. For 2018-19, you have 12.268. For 2019-20, you have 12.955. For 2020-2021, you have 13.668. The average growth in the MTAF period is about 5.6. And the average expenditure as a total is about 7%. This estimate is just showing the pattern from previous years to the current yellow coded that shows the 3 years going forward. So between 2014-15 up to 2017-18, we have had an average growth of about 13.4% of money that has been appropriated for boxing in South Africa. And the average expenditure total was around 6.8%.
No, I'm not happy. You know what? You once be accommodated in the head office, your department, and now because of some challenges of your cash flow and everything, now when you are coming here, you're expecting that. Because we are now independent, having offices, which means we are doing well. financial. But if we don't see that it's a pity, I don't know why you decided not to give us the slides, because everything is with us. The problem is that with Boxing South Africa, we know that we have been in trouble through your finances. So now we want to compare. That's why we are saying that we want to see each and everything. But carry on. You'll answer questions maybe from the members. But now, as a chairperson, I'm not happy about this presentation. It's not clear. Maybe if we're comparing, I've seen DG's hand.
Chair, I think it's the manner in which he's explaining the information that's there. But all the information the chair is asking for is there. If you look, Chair, on the first three columns, the grey part, the first three columns with dark grey, you see it will show on top 2014-15. The budget back then in 2014-15 was 7.9 million. It grew in 2015-16 to 10.468 and grew in 2016-17 to 11.033. And by 2017-18, which is that light gray, because that's the year we are coming from, yes, it was 11.595. And if you look at that entire period, from 2014 until 2017, the budget then grew on average by 13.4%, whereas expenditure in the same period grew by 6.8%, which shows a fair balance. So it shows that the financials are turning around, because expenditure... I'm just helping the chair understand how it
don't
is figured out. So
I'm
that
still chairing, please.
And chair, there it shows that the finances are turning around, because expenditure should always, average expenditure should always be lower than average growth. You have to be concerned where average growth is lesser than what expenditure is, because then it means that in real terms, the money you have and the things you have to be buying, and then you have a loss, so to say, if we were a business. So if you look at the yellow part, that is now forward looking. The first column deals with the financial year for which the APP is being tabled, and that is why it's called the medium term expenditure framework. It looks at a 3-year cycle of that term, and already we know the projections of the middle year and the outer year, as well as the current year, because Treasury communicates that to us in writing to say this is what will likely be appropriated. And that is why in that light column of 2017-18, at the end, we write it as adjusted appropriation, because the budget may change. If, for instance, we Treasury collects less money and SARS collect less money, it may be lesser what they then allocate to us. If there are budget cuts, it may change. But in terms of boom, or if we allocate more money to them and Treasury agrees that we can increase their budget because either they are in trouble or they are special programs, then it can also be adjusted upwards. So the adjustment is only done. The last one, as parliamentarians, you know that the Appropriations Committee does the final adjustment by September. So then after September, we know with certainty how we will finish and what it will look like. And the same format will go for SAIDS, it will go for us. It goes for the rest of public entities and the rest of government. That's how the system works, and that's how the planning looks like. So you will see that now, if we want to compare in real terms, we must compare the light gray plus the first year column. So last year we were at 11.595. And this year we are now at 12.268. Of immediate, it isn't a worry. What looks to be a worry, Chair, would be the last two columns and the extreme after the yellow. If you look that, if this is the way it's going to grow, it will grow at 5.6%. That's the real growth of the budget. But what is concerning would be over the medium term, the last column, which shows that expenditure, though, will rise by 7.7. And that would then suggest that over the medium term, we're going to have a problem of how we manage the finances. So it calls for two things, either reprioritization, and also it calls for working smarter or increasing revenue. Now, what you see here, it's only appropriated budget. So it means that they must be saying they will collect better sanctioning fees. They will collect more of the fines and all of those things. They must give a financial plan how they will. And I think that he will cover those aspects when he comes to them. And he can show that how will he mitigate this potential scenario, because at least we've got 2 more years to correct that scenario as it turns out.
I'm suspecting now we do understand maybe the way that he was presenting where I was a bit confused, and now it's clear. Carry on.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, DG, for assisting. We have already gone through this part immediately after the explanation of the medium-term expenditure estimate, Chair. Where this as the as it has been said, is just showing that how the manner in which we can be able to raise our funding in order to mitigate for the 2% that is between the increase in the budget. So as one of the biggest challenges that BSA had was to be dependent on the grant. As you may see, that the grant still constitute quite a substantial amount of about 81% of the money that is used currently at BSA. The sanctioning fees is the money that you recalculate after the tournaments. As the CEO has already mentioned, if the number of tournaments have decreased from 87 to 70, so it means your sanctioning fees that potentially you can recover also goes down, because now it means the number of tournaments that you could have recalculated potential income, now you will have less of those. However, the CEO has already alluded to the fact that why now it's not the question of the number of tournaments, but rather the quality of tournaments that you get. Because in any given tournament, Chair, you can have a tournament that can be generating 50,000, and then you can have another tournament that can generate 3 million. So the sanctioning fees will be recalculated on the amount of money that is generated by a particular tournament. Going forward, this I've already been said that BSA still has 3 programs, and of the 3 programs, we have allocated the money in terms of administration, boxing promotion, and boxing development. The amount of money that is allocated to administration is still on average larger, Chair. As you remember, that most part of the problems or challenges were mostly under governance and administration when it comes to boxing. This is just the narrative to try and explain some of these boxes, and because this slide as well is also a depiction which is almost exactly the same way, where we are looking at comparison from 2014-15, which is the second column on the extreme left, going forward into the yellow part, which is the projections for 2018 to 2020. And the breakdown of how the money was appropriated between administration, which is the first strategic objective, boxing promotion, and boxing development. And over the years, as you would see that the comparison between 2014 and where we are in 2018-2019, we are at the point where in 2014-15 administration constituted 9.3 million, and at the present moment our expenditure is now at 11.775 million for the projections for 2018-19. And to go on further, we are looking at boxing moving from concentrating mostly on administration, but rather concentrating on the core function of boxing South Africa, which is boxing promotion and boxing development. So the projected expenditure for 2017 2018 up to 2021 has to increase from 4.1 to about 10.5 in the next 3 years, Chair. The same applies to boxing development. All the money that was not appropriated for boxing development, we are intending to increase this amount of money to an average of around 19.8%. This is again, Chair, maybe the presentation that we're making is the manner in which we project our budget now in terms of the national expenditure for 2018-2019. So all amounts of money for 2018-19, current expenses, they are around 15.17 million, and is broken down into both compensation of income, goods and services, and depreciation. And these are the projections as we have for the 2018-2019. And then afterwards is just the narrative that the compensation of income constituted about 36.5% over the MTN period, looking backwards from 2014 to 2017-18. And we are showing that the estimate average increase over the MTN period for the next 3 years will increase our salaries by about 2.2%. So goods and services as well, it constituted around 63% of the total budget looking forward between 2014-15 up to 2017-18, and now it is only going to increase by about 1.5%. What we have not done extremely well was the issue of budgeting for depreciation, because the projections for budgeting for depreciation, which is investment in most cases boxing, the only thing that we do is in furniture and all those things, we are only budgeting around the percentage of the total budget. Going forward, Chair, is just the issue of budget assumptions that we made for the 2018-2019 budget. We are always increasing. Unfortunately, the money appropriated by government is restricted in terms of what you can do in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. The fees payable in terms of the Boxing Act, our budget is also structured according to the Treasury rules and regulations. The projections are still based on historical values, Chair. Because at the present moment, you'll find that you cannot easily just increase, even if you are anticipating that you might have additional income. Treasury will not allow you to just bloat your projections. So your projections will only be subject to those rules that are already there. Money generated from sponsorship, Chair, is dependent and highly susceptible to changes in economic conditions, reputational risk factors, and availability of limited resources. As you know, that it was very difficult for boxing to raise sponsorships in the past, and even now I think the intention is to make sure that as soon as we deal with our issues of the product of brand management, we are more likely to then attract more sponsors. Income and on surpluses is just fixed return on investment. And this is money that we can only if we invest more. The expenditure, compensation of employees, we are a structure. We only have a structure of about 14 people, as we have said. The cost of governance, as you would see, Chair, there are issues where we have to then make sure that we prioritize issues of internal audit, issues of risk management. Even in this particular case, we look at past historical patterns to project how much we're going to cost for all these particular things. Operational fixed and variable costs, they are also the cost that we have to incur now that we have moved. We used to have a big brother who used to pay we never used to pay rent and for the tables and all those things. So now that we have moved out of the house, these are the realities that we have to face now and make sure that we appropriately budget for some of these things. Capital expenditure, issues of, you'll see that immediately when boxing moves away from administration and start to do boxing promotion and marketing, it means now you have to need, you need to have cars, you need to have exposure in different provinces and all those things. So you might be at a position where you need to budget more on capital expenditures. The same applies to governance structures, Chair. The committees, like the new committees that has just been set, where you have a medical committee, it means you need to have doctors throughout the entire South Africa. And all these governance structures, they come at a premium in most cases, because to get a medical doctor to do boxing, it's not just a normal doctor. That doctor has to understand what is the effect of a hit on a person. So, but normally the governance structures are necessary to be there to make sure that boxing is safe. However, they do come at a premium in most cases. And then we have emerging pressures and some of the mandates that we have to flag out the issues that have been set of establishment of committees and subcommittees. Remuneration structures of those committees, Chair. Sometimes to get proper, appropriate people in these structures who understand the issues of governance, you then have to look at how other entities are doing it, where they don't pay per committee sitting. They look at issues like fixed cost per hour versus retainers, and in order to get appropriate people even in those subcommittees. The question of risk and internal audit functions, it will remain to be a matter that we have to make sure. At the present moment, I think at market value, to have a properly functional internal audit structure, you need an approximately 3 million over a three-year period just to have an internal audit. And as you have seen in our structure at the present moment, we used to get this assistance from the Big Brother at some point, but these are some of the issues that we have to make sure now that we don't have issues that are raised over the issues of risk and internal audit. Organizational structure and structural review. Immediately when you move from administration and you do the questions of boxing promotions, you then have to think of how is 14, the structure of 14 people going to cover the entire space. Finalization of legal fees, Chair. I think this is one of the matters that comes from previous years. However, some of these cases are still dragging and they are not finalized. But the impact that it has is that every now and then when it is called at CCMA, it then has an impact on the cost, and it's not a very easily controllable issue. But we are at a point where we are winning, where you find that when you look at boxing and boxing issues, unlike before, now you have a manner in which communication is easier with licensees, particularly on licensees. So that has been a matter that there's been a lot of improvement when it comes to this. At least you don't find boxing now in court every now and then. And so this has been a matter that we have, I would say that we have stability when it comes to those things. Implementation of flagship programs like Women in Boxing, these are some of the issues that will remain to be an emerging pressure. National and regional convention, the CEO has just mentioned that there's another convention that is for the SADC. The process of amending current legislative framework, and this matter has already been done. It's already been mentioned as well that the cost of this particular matter, when whether you have to do consultation and all those things. Functionality and cost of licenses committees, it talks to the establishment of committees, and then the implementation of the boxing reform. Chair, thank you very much. I think that'll be my presentation.
much, Boxing South Africa. I don't think you still have any presentation. It's the last one, this one of finances. I was thinking that by this time we'll be having copies. Did you try to get the copies once? Okay. Honorable members, this is the presentation of Boxing South Africa. One thing that I would love when you are answering your questions, because now the members will be engaging on your presentation. As this committee, we once asked department and your good self to look at the problems of boxing in Eastern Cape. In your first presentation, I've seen that there is a decline there. And we were talking about why they're having it decline. But as this committee, we know that we gave you task to intervene, because we did go there and we had findings. And now I'm worried if today we are coming back also telling us that as we have seen it decline and then how things rising. Are those problems which you once told that we are looking at the problem of finances and promoters in Eastern Cape? How far are you? Are they cooperating on those problems? I was thinking immediately that we have a slide where there are things, especially there, that they are declining. So I'm suspecting that problem that occurred and we have seen as a committee is not yet solved. But when we are responding from other questions, we will tell us. Honorable members, this is what we must engage on. I'm seeing the hand. Mr. Jaisa. Jaisa, are you?
Yeah.
Today you even mentioned your because of the present minister. Okay, Honorable Mhlonga, and then Honorable Bev, Honorable Ralhom, thank you on that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm covered now in the issue of this decline, because I was also coming to comment on that, as we did decide now that something should be done about it. You know, Eastern Cape, particularly East London, so we used to have great boxers there, legends like Happy Boy Mkhatshi and Nkosinkulu, Mlindo Nkosinkulu. So perhaps now, as time goes on now, they will tell us exactly what is it that they are being faced with. Why now this cannot be brought to a solution. I'm checking here whether, how far are they with the plans they are having in place to have this boxing being part of the people in the rural areas. So how far are you now with your plans? Because this is very, very important. Last time I did ask this question, then you said you are having some plans, but I want to check now how far are you with those plans. Then lastly, Chairperson, you are saying now a boxer that is not made the weight, so it's being fined. So I want to check now the percentage now that is being taken from his money. And it's a pity because these young ones are trying to make money, so it's threatens that they get these opportunities. then when I'm going to be fighting, but I want to check the percentage that is being deducted from the money that is supposed to go to them. That is all. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Msango.
Thanks, Chair. I welcome the presentation, even if the papers are not okay, Chair. This presentation is not even followed. It is uncalled for us to not knowing exactly and to disturb even the presenters. I don't want to be honest enough. You make my life difficult to do my oversight work to get this documentation like this. I cannot participate fully and for us to develop sports in our communities. But nonetheless, I wanted just to have some highlights on the issue, especially on tournaments. I understand you're talking of quality, but I want you to explain yourself exactly, especially previously you had 80, now you have 78. Now there are provinces which you don't have any tournament, any. And you didn't even mention it, so you just went to the Gauteng and the three, but didn't go to your actual presentation. What are the challenges in Northwest, in Northern Cape?
Mama and Musa, Kulumane Matin Sempedin. I mean, very softly. Why you told us that it's not going to be a I don't mean that to say bed no more, but when we are in bed, your voices are so soft, so normal. Yes, ni angola. Abantu ababini abaqabise bed nabangqoli. Asikho ufike ne late apha ngokunezo umsindo. Honorable Musi, bendingekakuboni noba ukhona, ufika uyangcolisa umama apho. Continue.
Che, mina ngikho embhedeni ngiyazwakala. Ngcono u-Honorable Musi osembhedeni. Nonetheless, Chair, what I was saying, Uti, can you tell us exactly what are the challenges? And you were quiet. And what was the reason for you to not to tell us about these provinces? There's no decline, in fact, nothing is happening. Out of 80 the previous year, Northwest and Northern Cape, there was nothing again. There's no improvement. Now, no decline, there's no improvement. Still stagnant. The picture still remains the same as the previous year. And understand you talk of quality. Don't answer me in a quality of tournament, please. I must understand what are the issues, why we don't have tournaments there. Chair, on the structure, I wanted to find out when are you envisaged to fill the position of a driver. I see it's so important. Unemployment is so high because I see it's vacant. When are you envisaged to appoint that driver? Because you are 13, you are not 14, in fact, at present, but your presentation says 14. Chair, I wanted to find out the 14th part, which is the diversity. I think we've asked this in previous, that they must give us female, male, female, male, white. We're able to see if transformation takes place or is there any diversity within, not only in the board, even the structure. I wonder the board now, since the chairperson is a male, can we have the structure? It's not even on your presentation. No, it's not here, Chair. Chair, can I'm intimidated. He's always back, but we are saying, Chairperson.
What is going on now? No, but leave DG and ask your question.
Oh, manana, begova intimidated. Naming by intimidated.
Please. Anyone can laugh, anyone can cry, and it's Chairperson who's going to monitor that. Ask your questions.
Please monitor that, Chair.
No, I cannot say you must not laugh because I don't know what he's
maybe
laughing.
Maybe, Chair, I've made a mistake. English is not my mother tongue. And you must correct me that it will laugh at me.
I'm strong.
That's my...
I'm strong. Please.
Oh, you're smiling. You're so handsome, eh? Thank you, Chair. Chair, but I'm concerned on that. I need to know because the presentation is quiet. Male, female, black, white, we must know exactly. Even on the board. But yes, I'm late, maybe they introduce themselves, but we must know exactly. We had the picture before, now what is happening? That's a fair question. I'm not undermining anyone. I must know exactly, and I apologize. I came late if they've introduced themselves, and I can know exactly how many male and female. But Chair, on issues of governance and administration, I've got a question. You know, I didn't follow the issue of budget there, and it is unfair for me to comment because I don't know exactly how much it's targeted or projected. You're talking of percentage. Percentage on boxing development, percentage on administration. Chair, the presenter stated on the presentation 8 challenges. Out of 8 challenges, what are the remedy or what are the solution that you have? Yes, you have identified these 8 challenges, but I don't understand. You're giving what are the plans maybe for us to interact with those challenges that you have? Because same challenges were there. Half of these challenges were still there in the previous presentation that we had. So I wanted to find out regarding promoters. We wanted to find out what tools or what mechanism to have to make promoters to declare. Is there any mechanism or a tool that to force promoters to declare exactly? And then under how many women licenses do we have? Because your presentation is quite, it says, can you have a figure? How many women licenses do we have? For us to exactly check it transformation, your presentation is quite, how many women licenses do we have? Why I'm going there above all, I've listened to one of the interview by a boxer, Bugiwe Munani, it was, one of the media houses, one of the media houses. And one thing that I didn't like, and I wanted to find out maybe from the BSA, she's claiming that they're earning less than male complement, like, in fact, it's not even half what she said. Now, can maybe I get an understanding, just give me a sample, how many out of maybe different levels, I understand that different levels, a male gets this, a female gets this, just for me to understand her while she was speaking in those interviews. I didn't understand because one of the aims that we have to, we need equity in sports. If I'm capable as a man and the female contemporary are capable, I think the minister says no minister, oh mama, Ngokuzithoba minister. You are capable to do that on Balula. Yes, you are. And I've seen so far, I've never even attacked you as a female as I'm doing.
I don't remember.
No, I must comment, asking question and then I must make.
Listen.
I must relate to what
I'm saying. Honorable member, I'm on the floor. I'm saying to you, I don't know the measure that you have measured on former minister with the present minister because we didn't do evaluation. Please.
It's by observation now. I'm allowed to echo my, you know, I'm doing because I'm speaking of a women's boxers. In Chinese, mama, observation, yeah. Minister Mbalula, I will always criticize him for my issues. Minister Musha, oh mama, I'm going to criticize compared to the way I was. That is my observation, ma'am.
Thank you. Any other
questions? I'm still on the questions. Chair, boxing regarding problems, regarding promoters, I wanted to find out what are the actual problems in paying boxers? I'm a promoter in paying boxers. What are the actual problems? You are reviewing six important policy, the finances, but you are quiet. What are those? They've been there for years. Your presentation is quiet with those six review policies. Turnaround time, when is it? The turnaround time of those policies, six of them. What is the status quo of AMAP disciplinary processes against suspended top management? The last time I checked, we didn't get exactly. Maybe if there are any update, especially on associate entities. So I wanted to find out regarding female boxers 40. What mechanism do we have to make sure the transformation takes place in boxing? You know, Chair, one of the things that I've proposed that amateur boxers must come here with Boxing South Africa for us to align to see exactly what he went on that. That is my last comment, but it's... Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you, the presenter, for the presentation. Part of my questions has also been covered, but I'd also like to know why you did not mention Northern Cape, which was on zero, and what are you doing in assisting the provinces with a low figure? How do you promote in these provinces? Then in Program 2, you've also, under your performance indicators, six policies and procedures reviewed and approved. Is it the policies, or is it the procedures, or is it both? That has been approved and reviewed. You just mentioned all. And 1,000 licenses has been issued, Chairperson. What is the criteria for issuing these licenses? And how do you monitor the people with licenses? Do they utilize these licenses? On your marketing strategy, what is your marketing strategy in rural and township areas? And then also priority programs besides the basic administrative support that you do assist the associations with. Do you have a skill development program to make sure that you don't have to continuously assist them, but that they can stand on their own? And why have there been no boxing publication? Is there a boxing publication book manual? And if no, what was published in this book, if there's such a book? Besides the grants that you receive, are there any other sponsorships and donations that you receive? How do you go about receiving these, applying for sponsorships and donations? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable
Chair. I also appreciate the presentation. Although on finances, we were a little bit confused until the intervention by the DG. Maybe it is the way they structured their presentation. Because if you do coloring, if you do coloring going downward as well, so that it must not only be at the top. If that coloring had gone down, it would have assisted a lot. My first point has been covered, but it is more a concern that is it not because we restructured or done away with commissions in the various provinces that there is a serious decline in boxing. You remember we raised this thing because we picked it up from Free State, where it was particularly raised, although that report was never presented in the assembly. I want to check with yourself whether the decline in provinces is not related to lack of commissions. I know you said you'll have people responsible for persons responsible in those provinces representing ourselves. Is it the case? Are we having that? But my other concern is reliance in terms of staging tournaments on provinces and municipalities, because I don't think we must make provinces and municipalities their responsibility in terms of staging tournaments. We must do a lot of work. I know at the moment, because they might be having money that they can't use somewhere that we are taping, that they must assist in promotion. It might be the reflection of other provinces not staging tournaments might be a reflection that other provinces might not see that as a priority. Even municipalities might not see that as a priority. Their concern might be doing what is their business, not promoting boxing. So I think we must still do a lot of work in terms of unearthing promoters who can have capacity to can stage tournaments. But I'm also have got a concern with promoters, because we need to be in a position to can show the demographics of promoters, so that we can watch. At one point, promoters who were white in the main, whether are we beginning to see other races coming in and being developed to can be competent on that particular field. My fourth point is I hope we now have got a full complement in terms of staffing. But also my worry is with the provinces, depending on how you see yourself closing the gap in terms of commissions. The boxing on TV, I thought we must still do a lot of work there. Because, I mean, the way, the times that is slotted is of no consequence. That is why we are not making inroads in terms of more promoters being prepared to stage fights. So I'm not sure whether we can't do more work just around that. And then my last point is we had made the point that there must be some programmatic relations with SONABO. And in terms of your challenges, you are conceding that you do not have as yet a structured programmatic relations with SONABO. And hence, Honorable Mthlongo, we will now say, no, we must bring yourself and the Federation here. Because we've been emphasizing that you need to ensure that the relationship is problematic, while we understand that SONABO is the Federation that is supposed to ensure that the boxing is increased, or more people have got access into boxing. But because you are professional and you've got more coverage, we thought there is a need that you need to try to strengthen that. Even the Act does say that you can't just not do anything about amateur boxing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. apologize for late coming. It is said in Afrikaans that but it is also again said in Afrikaans that the starige hond verloor sy stert. Van die starig. And I've just lost my stert. The stert is the tail for being so slow. Literally translated as, you know, being the dog that is very slow, easily loses its tail. And I've just lost mine, you know, to person that I came late. I'm not sure whether you understand the joke that I'm trying to make. That ek baie starig is, ek het my sterk verloor vandag, maar ek is ook in die kraag. No, it's a person. Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to make some...
Just a moment. Were you aware that you are talking to yourself?
Yes, I've just realized that, because what I'm making here is a joke and nobody laughs at it. And it's not fine, but I think it's a question of... yeah, no, but it's fine, Chairperson. Let's leave it. No, the quick two questions that I want to check with boxing. I've seen that they have indicated they have secured two sponsors, and then I just want to check with them whether it is well enough, okay. It is good enough, perhaps that it can make, you know, some improvement and bring quality in boxing. That would be my first, but. The second one, Chairperson, would be there is a correlation between tournaments in a particular province and the existence of boxing in that province. The fact that there are no tournaments is a clear indication that less is happening in that province. And it is something that we've been talking about, that we said it previously. I don't know how many times, and in particular for the province like Northwest. And I just, you know, I'm just wondering why is it Northwest and Northern Cape? Is it a question of them being weak, or is it a question of them, you know, afraid, you know, blood to be drawn from them? I'm not sure. But our chairperson would like to get perhaps an explanation, because really, if this has been happening for a long time, there should be an answer to this to the reason why, and would like to get that. But lastly, Chairperson, let me just acknowledge the job well done of our athletes in Commonwealth. I'm not sure whether that was done, but if it was done, I'm doing it for myself. We don't know what we can do for them to maintain the same standards, you know, so that they display that type of performance in, you know, bigger events or bigger competitions. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Musi. We're supposed to start with that, but I've sent a statement on behalf of this mighty committee, because I was aware that we were all washed and we were all pleased to see our flag flying. I've already done that, but they were not yet finished, but I was just seeing them that they are doing well, and I'm suspecting the Honorable Minister, who was part of them, she came back with that flag flying up, while she didn't wait until they collect all those medals. And also, Honorable Mhlongo and myself, we did go and wish them that what they are promising us. They must come with more medals. They've said so. So I'm suspecting what we are saying, you are all happy about what have happened there without problem of track suits this time. They were well dressed. So we are not going to say anything about dressing code to SASCOC. Maybe they were afraid that the minister now, who's a Troyum Hlong, the minister now who's a woman, you want things that they must be up to standard. I thank you, honorable members and our colleagues. So many questions. Can anyone have an intake of responding? I thank you.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me perhaps start by apologizing for the challenge which clearly the presentation has caused for the committee. I think this doesn't really speak to how our approach to the work of this committee has been. This is probably the first but most regrettable incident which I can safely commit to the committee that will ensure doesn't recur. Chairperson, I think another thing that I must right up front indicate is that I think some of the detail which we thought is in the annual performance plan and we didn't bring back through the presentation, I'm now living to regret that, because this one had thought that through the presentation we are flagging out certain things which the rest of which are in the actual annual performance plan, but I noticed that we didn't probably anticipate properly. So we'll try in our response, Chairperson, to mop that up as well. Chair, let me start with the part of the tournament breakdown. You remember the slide of the tournament breakdown, Chairperson, was flagged at the highlights, because I thought that this is the detail that we must declare. And when I speak, I then didn't go into depth that look at Northern Cape is at zero and so on, because we literally put a slide on there to say that these are the facts. But I know that we also spoke about the situation in the Northern Cape, that in the Northern Cape, in the financial year 2016-2017, we didn't have licensees. We have had to create a special dispensation to recruit licensees then. Back then, we had 2 licensees. In the previous year, we had 11 licensees. So the current licensing cycle closes on the 31st of May. When it closes, I will be able then to account to the committee that for the financial year 2018-2019, this is the number of licensees. As we speak today, the licensees that we can account for is the same statistics that we shared with the portfolio committee previously, which is 1,208 licensees, 108 is female licensees. And Chairperson, when you recall, even the female licensees, out of 1,208, we have only 109, which is female. But we have had, during the month of August, to create a special dispensation because we had only licensed 93. And the board said, no, we are going to extend, and CEO, you must go and ensure that you step up the recruitment and we've got more female licensees. So when you look at it, statically, it is a small number. But when you look at it on how it is evolving, it shows that there is growth. So I think when we continue with our work around that, Chair, that number will continue to grow. Chair, coming back to the situation of the Eastern Cape. Chair, the problems in the Eastern Cape, there are multiplicity of factors that probably can account for that dwindle in the numbers of tournament activity in the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape is leading with regards to the number of boxers. So out of 787 boxers, when we show you the statistics, you'll notice that the highest boxer, the number, is in the Eastern Cape. But the activity, the lowest, is in, again, Eastern Cape. That big number does not translate to the big activity. Reasons for that, part of it are what we shared with the portfolio committee. The conduct of promoters, particularly in the area of Eastern Cape. I think members will recall that at some point we did indicate that we are going to have to tighten screws around compliance in the Eastern Cape, because you had a culture of promoters that just were not respectful all the time of the rules. And that is why the two tournaments during which purse money of boxers was not paid in 2015 and 2016 came from the Eastern Cape. And we've had to suspend two of the promoters from that side. Last year, again, Chairperson, we have had to suspend a female promoter who had delivered a tournament, but there were incidents of falsification of information around certain things. And what is most disheartening about this, because the things that were falsified were compliance requirements of Safety at Sports and Recreation Events Act. Now, maybe, Chair, what I think could assist is to paint a picture of what does it take to deliver a tournament. Because to deliver a tournament, Boxing South Africa, as the custodian of the Boxing Act and the boxing regulations, we are dependent on promoters instigating that process. So a promoter, 31 days before the tournament, will then apply and say, I, promoter so-and-so, seek to host a tournament, and this is my proposed bill. In this case, the bill means the number of fights in a tournament which a promoter seeks to host. And those fights, there will be a main bout, there will be a main supporting bout, and there will be the other fights or bouts in a tournament, your swingers and so on. So that has to happen 31 days before. But it must also be accompanied by a certain set of compliance documents, and that is explicitly scripted in the regulations. Medical records of the boxers that have to take a fight, compliance documents that say the venue is safe. And then the Act then gives Boxing SA the powers to decide when the purse money must be paid. It says 31 days in the regulations, 31 days or SBSA shall determine. And the board at this point said 14 days before the tournament, purse money must be paid. So you then have incidents of promoters who will not pay purse money on time. And if the promoter is unable to pay purse money on time, he must build a compelling argument why BSA must trust that that purse money will be paid before the tournament takes place. So we then go into that type of exercise. But if the process is not compliant and we have no reason to trust it, then Boxing SA has a right not to sanction that fight. So as this culture of compliance happens, Chairperson, unfortunately, people that we see being the hardest hit are mostly from the Eastern Cape side of the country. And others is capacity issues, but others is a political view that says, no, 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 that rule, we don't agree with it. So you've got those factors that affect our sanctioning process. Through training, we then are building capacity to ensure that the promoters understand what they are supposed to be doing, and we handle them and assist them to comply. So that is the first part. But the second part, Chair, is the nature of sponsorship. When you look at the what sustains Gauteng is sponsorship, and we're not talking big sponsorship of your big multinational corporate. Just a security company in the location assisting Gauteng. That is how most promoters in Gauteng survive. But you don't have a lot of that. And then again, Eastern Cape is dependent on government assistance, like I've indicated. In December, actually in January, Buffalo City issued sponsorship to promoters to assist them to host tournament. But the amounts that were issued, it was around your 150,000. So as a result, if a promoter has got 150,000 assistance from the municipality to host the tournament, most of them were unable to deliver tournaments within that, because the lead time between when the sponsorship comes or the assistance comes from the municipality and the time for them to deliver tournament was not long enough to allow them to then go and fundraise additional to augment that. And ultimately then the municipality gave them right to form joint ventures around it. So you've got the system cleansing itself in the Eastern Cape. Because now the municipality is able to ask us, Boxing South Africa, what are your priorities? How best can we do this? The department is equally asking us the same questions. But as we go through that phase, unfortunately, Chairperson, the system will choke. But I think that in the financial year coming, we'll start to again see this growth going up. Because we have to make a choice that, do we now turn a blind eye to this conduct, or do we address it so that when growth comes back again, like I said, qualitatively, it must be growth that is in compliance with the law. It protects the interest of the boxers and the participants in the sport. So I think, in a nutshell, Chair, if I were just to broadly cover the situation of Eastern Cape, that's how one would characterize it. Chairperson, the plans for the rollout of boxing in rural communities, as well as our marketing strategy. You know, Chair, what the our limitation to a very large extent still remains our financial capacity to do your aggressive marketing of boxing, going into rural areas, doing road shows. So at the moment, our biggest focus is on the pool of licensees, because while we have 787 licensees, Chair, not all those boxers at the end of the year will have seen an opportunity to fight or to participate in a tournament. So our biggest challenge is not that much letting more boxers into the system, as it is assisting the boxers that are already in the system to get tournament opportunity. So I think, from a strategic point of view, Chair, honestly, that is what the board said we must do. Let us try to work with the promoters to ensure that we expand the space for tournament activity, so that you don't have a boxer who takes 250 rands, get a license, go do HIV AIDS test, go do hepatitis B test. That comes to almost 800 rands from boxers, that most of whom are from backgrounds of families that are not doing well. And at the end of the year, he has not found an opportunity to participate in a tournament. So that is the biggest challenge, which in our strategic outlook is that we request the portfolio committee to allow us to assist us to focus on that. Because keeping in by flooding the system with new boxers that come in, statistically will look good, because we look like we've got this big pool of licenses. But when you look at the activity, it does not afford them all an opportunity to participate. Chair, I'm going to skip the issue on the way in. I think Ms. Nkomo, the Chief Operations Officer, will speak to that part. Chairperson, the issue of the positions in the structure, I think we didn't indicate this actually in our last sitting, that while we've got this vacancy of the driver and the messenger, what is happening is that we currently have got a position which is additional to establishment, because we have not reviewed our organizational structure. And we're using that salary to finance the position of driver. So in a big scheme of things, when look at our pressing needs, it's not that we are not creating employment, because we are using that salary to still put a salary on somebody else. But the position that we need, honestly, is not a driver. We have got, when you look at that structure, we do not have a warm body in our marketing communication space. So when we review our structure, that is what we will then move towards. But again, when you move and grow a structure against a shrinking allocation in your budget, it does not assist you. And that is why we have had to do what DG says is operating smartly. How do we, within the current confinements, continue to finance our establishment so that it responds to the priorities? So that is why that position is vacant, because we, when we look at our HR need analysis, it is not that urgent as opposed to the other interim positions that I've indicated that we require. With regard to diversity in the board, we've got, and this is obviously the question for the minister, but I think now that you request the statistics, one can explain that when you look at the board, you've got 7 board members. Out of the 7 board members, 2 are female and 5 are male. And then you've got now in this board one white person in the board. So that is the diversity outlook of the board as we speak. The challenges that we had flagged out, I think, Chair, the action plans for this, the 8 challenges that one has flagged out here, we do have the action plans, but I thought that instead of concealing this, we need to declare to the portfolio committee that these are still areas that we are working on, particularly the issue of inadequate boxing broadcast, which I think that Radio Khumo has also spoken to. We have done a lot of work with the SABC, because we had indicated that in our prioritization of evening out the landscape for broadcast, SABC was our priority number one. But SABC has had its own instabilities, which keeps pushing us backwards. If members remember, in August last year, SABC had issued out a bid for promoters to roll out boxing on monthly basis. That was implemented in September. November, December, January, February, March to date, SABC has now pulled out of that arrangement, an arrangement that we took almost 2 years to work on. And what they're citing is that there are now challenges financially in the SABC, so they are reviewing that model. So you've got those challenges in SABC, which are ongoing problems that SABC is facing. But there's work that has been done with SuperSport to ensure that boxing is broadcast at the level of SuperSport. There's work that we are doing with Kwese Television, the Pan-African broadcaster, which broadcasts through the platform of Soweto TV and sometimes KZN TV. We're also starting to now see live streaming of boxing tournaments. There's a promoter who, particularly in the Western region, where upcoming production companies are being innovative on how best to broadcast boxing. But these are not things that we are ready to present to comprehensively to the portfolio. But we're now trying to think beyond the SABC, because quite clearly, the SABC situation does not allow us to depend on it entirely for boxing broadcast. Otherwise, boxing will die a slow death in the hands of the national broadcaster, because in the big scheme of the challenges of the national broadcaster, unfortunately, boxing, I don't think it reigns that supreme. There's an issue of PEF money, which has been raised. How much do we pay? Chair, when it comes to PEF money, what we have are the minimum amounts across the board. So at the moment, when a tournament happens, the rule is that it must not pay less than 1,000 rand per round, which means that if it's a four-rounder, the least PEF money payable is 4,000 rand. But unfortunately, other variables come into play, because like sport, you've got personalities. Other personalities, they demand a bigger crowd and so on, and as a result, their purse money would be higher. So what I can give you surely, Chairperson, are the minimum, and I can confirm that those minimum cut across for both males and females. And then when it comes to the biggest purse money, then that is unregulated. And unfortunately, because of the pull power of our boxers, particularly the female boxers, they don't, unfortunately, rank among the highest paid. The boxers that I think in the past, when you look at Noni Tenge, at the time of her prime, like around 2015, she was one of the boxers that could, female boxers, that could make the biggest purse money even beyond men. What do we need to do in our view to address what you are raising, Honorable Member? Our program that speaks on women in boxing is our response to that, because we have to support female boxers to ensure that we expose them through participation in tournaments to the public, we grow their brand, we grow their personality, and they are able to fill the stadiums, to fill the arena and the halls in the same way that Esther Piri does in Zambia. So I think that is our strategy to do that, because to simply regulate it is going to put a pressure on the delivery cost of tournament on promoters, and that then promoters will pull back. So I think there's that multiplicity of factors that we try to do to ensure that women boxers are also elevated. Chair, we didn't in this presentation go into detail about the various cases and litigations that we have. But I know that when we were presenting our annual report, we were requested the status, and we explained that these are mostly cases where boxing South Africa has been drawn to court by dismissed officials. And most of those dismissed officials, while this still stays in our books, they themselves are not peddling fast on this matter. At this point in time, of almost 5 cases that we have had, only one has now been resolved because the person lost it. The other cases, we are still in CCMA, for example, with the former CEO who was dismissed. And what we've tried to protect is to ensure that we don't get any new cases coming on board. So between the period 2016 to date, Chair, I can safely commit that those cases are the only cases that we've had. The single new case that came on board now has to do with a boxer that participated in a tournament in 2015, in March. He was a boxer from the Philippines. He participated in a tournament. When we took a decision to pay purse money of South African boxers, we didn't pay him, because the practice is that a non-South African boxer gets paid directly through the agent from the promoter to the boxer, and the money does not come through Boxing SA. So that boxer, when he heard that we had cleared the debt of South African boxers. He then took us to court and said that while this promoter owes me, but BSA, you are also responsible because you sanctioned the tournament. And interestingly, the fight in which the boxer participated was an IBO title fight. So we try to ensure that on the litigation side, we keep an eye on things, we do things compliantly, and we don't grow the list of cases that keep us in court. We try to manage what we only have so far. Chair, our relationship with SANABO, while programmatically we do not have activities in our relationship, but we are in the process of developing an MOU with SANABO, the amateur body. You'll recall that there was a time when the narrative used to say that boxing, South Africa and SANABO are at loggerheads with each other. We've gone past that stage. What we're now doing is to work on a set of activities that we do together. So you'll see us at SANABO events or SANABO at BS, but that is not adequate. And I think, Chair, this is work in progress, but we note what the portfolio committee is saying to say that we must fast track that so that we've got a proper MOU that documents the relationship between the two parties. And I think we will most definitely do that. To come to the questions that I think were posed by Honorable Bev, we'll try, because I think most of them were bullet points that were straightforward. The Northern Cape, the last tournament which we had in Northern Cape was in 2016 in April. We haven't had a tournament in there, but like I indicated before, we also didn't have licenses. At this point, we've got licenses, but we do not have tournaments. And our best bet is through our stakeholder engagement framework to engage with the provincial department so that the promoters in the Eastern Cape are strengthened and are able to host the tournament. So, yes, the statistics for tournament activity 2017-2018 are at zero, but we do have licenses, which is, I think, again, offshoots of a positive nature. When it comes to the procedures and policies that have to be reviewed, it's either or. I think what basically is in the performance plan is to say that when you look at our audit action plan, there's been areas where the Auditor General has flagged out that our internal controls require that we need to pass policies on various areas. So that area on the performance plan speaks to that. The specifically identified policy gaps where we need to pass policy. But as we pass policy, we're now at a point where we're noticing that our challenges are on standard operating procedures. Because you might have a policy, but if you don't have an explicit standard operating procedure where practitioners understand the system, then those are gaps. So in the APP, that area is that area that assists us to do that. The procedure for issuing license. Chair, our license cycle is this way. The cycle is annual, which means that on an annual basis, a person has to renew his license. I will use a boxer as an example. A boxer will then fill a particular form. They will attach whatever that needs to come with that, be it your blood results of HIV, of hepatitis B, and then they will make a payment. We have not renewed or reviewed those payments since 2008. So that happens, and the board considers it by the 1st of March. But in the past year, by the 31st of March, we had incidents where some of the people had not been able to comply completely, and that is why there was an extension for 2 months. Again, in this year, we've got an extension for 2 months. So the final statistics of licenses will be out by the 31st of March, because the license kicks off on the 1st of April until the 31st of March. So that's pretty much the cycle which we follow when we license. Assistance to associations. Chairperson, this thing of, maybe one needs to clarify it, because this thing of associations, this is like unions of licensees. So basically, the Act says that licensees, be them boxers, trainers, managers, promoters, or ring officials, have a right to establish their own association. They need to generate a constitution which Boxing South Africa considers and approves. And on the basis of their constitution, they then come together to elect their leadership. They generate a program of action, which for the period under review, they will implement. And then in the next annual general meeting, they will then evaluate. So that is the activity that we support when we talk about support to associations. It is to assist licenses, to unionize, so that they speak in one voice, they are coordinated, and their bargaining power is a bit more. So that's something that we do. The boxing publication, Chair, we do not have a boxing publication at the moment, but when you look at our annual performance plan, we have indicated that by December this 2018, we want to issue the publication of boxing. So that publication is the reason why we are strengthening our communications arm, so that we've got somebody there that assists us by generating this publication. Because at the moment, the only source for boxing news from a PSA point is our website. So we've got this. It is also reflected under our priorities and something that we have put at December of 2018. The issue of the absence of boxing commissions, I think it's something that the board itself has spoken to before. Because at the moment, you do not have a structure, be it a committee or any collective at a provincial level that oversees boxing. So the only thing that you have at a provincial level are provincial managers. And most of the time, licensees would even dismiss them and call them conduits or conveyor belts. Because these are our registry points at province. They collect information, they collect application, and take it to national. Their biggest duty is tournament supervision. When there is a tournament, they are then the ones that oversee and ensure that the tournament is compliant. They will oversee the pre-medical, they will oversee the weigh-in, and they will oversee tournament delivery and mop-up. But activities like ratings, activities like sanctioning, like licensing, all those happen at a national level. So in the ideal future, which we are wishing for, is where you've got structures at a provincial level, because then your service points are closer to people. But I think when the decision to pass the Boxing Act was taken in 2001, that fate was decided at that point. So within the current legislative environment, that is what we are living with. But what is comforting to us is because when you look at the Combat Sport Bill, it is then positioned as a Section 76 bill. And I think it will most probably respond to that question. But unfortunately, the Boxing Act, as in its current configuration, is on Section 75. And I think DG can probably expatiate a bit more on that, because the bill is at the level of the department at the moment. Chair, I think we've spoken about the time on which boxing appears on television. That, to be honest, that is the matter that is still with the SABC at this point. And our fight is not even at a point where we say, please move it closer, not at 10:30. It's just to get them to be consistent. Because at this point in time, they are still... So in a big scheme of things, to even fight for that slot, it's still a far-fetched dream, because you don't have the broadcaster that is able to honor the arrangements that we have put in place. After going into the provinces, running workshops, appointing promoters, who can deliver tournaments every month, that has been abandoned. So we're still at that point of discussions with the SABC. The sponsors that we have, Chair, these are not your major sponsors. Like I indicated, these are sponsors that are linked to a particular program. So when you've got the Boxing Awards, and around that specific program of the Boxing Awards 2018, we then talk about sponsors that came in to support just that program. So we're trying to go beyond that. But with regards to sponsors, that is where we are. So, Chair, I think these, in a nutshell, those are the questions that I had noted. I will request that Ms. Ngomo should just respond to the issue of the way in, and then the CFO will speak to the budget elements as well.
Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to the question of the percentages fined to boxers when they do not meet the weight division. The percentage is 20%, regardless of the stature of the tournament. If a tournament is a development tournament, the 20% is paid to the opponent. In a case where a promoter is staging an SA title, the split is the percentage is still 20%. However, the split is 10% to the promoter, obviously to assist in covering some of the damages that and expenses that the promoter would have incurred in promoting the tournament. And the 10% also goes to BSA as the holder and conferrer of the SA title. However, I'd like to highlight the fact that this is not something that BSA gets into or would like to promote. Therefore, that we do have remedial actions in place to assist boxers to ensure that they do meet their weight requirements. And this is in a form of for instance, your pre-medical weigh-ins, which takes place 7 days before the tournament. And boxers are weighed, and obviously if there are any work that a boxer needs to do, he is then given that opportunity to do so. Then the second phase of this comes in 24 hours before the tournament, where we have a pre-tournament weigh-in. Again, if a boxer is unable to meet the weight division, he is given a few hours to lose a certain amount of weight. And this is obviously given across females and males, and they're given ample time to meet. But the issue of weight also is covered way before we even get to the stages of weigh-in. As the CEO has mentioned, the process of tournament application happens at least 30 days before a tournament. And at that point, a boxer knows that he'll be engaged in a tournament at a certain date, and therefore the process should actually start there. So the issue of when it gets to where we have to deduct money from a boxer, it would have come after certain things have taken place. There was a question on a problem of paying boxers. I must say that we have improved on this. One, we have made sure that the agreed time of paying boxers, which is at least by every Wednesday after a tournament, has been consistent. We actually even try and pay the following Monday. Any instances where we have boxers not being paid on time would be really minor things. For instance, not getting documentation on time or incorrect account details. And this we have done by ensuring that before the tournament even takes place, we have all our documents in place, and we have all the information that is needed to ensure. But the bigger part of it, which has been a contributor in the challenges of paying boxers, is ensuring that we don't even go to a tournament week without having purse monies with BSA. The CEO talked to the process of how we end up having purse monies. We have even gone to a point whereby in trying to assist the promoters and in large trying to make sure that all our boxers at least get some activity, and obviously that talks to their well-being, we then request at least about 10% from the promoters to be paid in advance, so that in a case whereby for whatever reason a tournament is unable to take place, at least there is some compensation that goes to the boxer. And just to elaborate on the question of female licensees, for the past financial year, we had 108 female licensees, and of these were 67 boxers, 20 promoters, 16 officials, and the balance goes to categories such as seconds, ring announcers, and managers. And how we also improved on this number is, during the month of August, we then extended a special concession for females to license only for that particular month. And I think because of the confidence or the activities that some licensees had seen throughout the year, we had great traction in that month, even managing to get managers to come in, which previously has been male-dominated. We obviously want to improve on this number, and that is why currently, after the sitting of the board, there has been an establishment of a Women in Boxing Committee, which will look in specifically into the challenges and the development of female boxing in the country. And some of these have been mentioned, which is the equal payment or fair payment of female boxers, as seen as well in males, increased activities, and also just the profiling of female boxers in the country. I think that, yeah, those were the questions that I was meant to cover. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. On any one of these two want to say something? Honorable members, do you still have follow-ups? I've seen the hand. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I wanted to find out, I didn't hear correctly, regarding diversity of the board. You're saying two female, five male, and a white. I wondered, because, you know, diversity, we define in different ways, and to you, you're saying it's a diverse team or board. To me, it's not, because diversity, we define it in different ways. One of the things, maybe I'll challenge the minister, let's maybe know who to. For us, especially Boxing South Africa, the previous board to them was at 50% saying that now diverse. They were claiming that now not diverse, led by a woman, but all male cabinet, so to say. Now I'm saying now, Chair, because diversity to me, you must have a young man there or a young lady there. To me, it's diversity. Now, to have all black male, you are saying, and white male or female, I'm not sure. You're calling it a diverse. To me, it's not diversity. There's some lack. Maybe Minister will come to my rescue to tell the board, please, let's diversify the board. Under structure, I think it's misleading what I've heard. You said 14, now there's someone, you are paying Peter for John money, you're John, you badalu Peter. No, that is misleading, what I've heard after the presentation, unless you explain that in a layman understanding. That is misleading. Structure is misleading. Under, I wanted to find out, under Boxing Award, how much was spent in the previous award, how much was from the department, and how much was from the sponsors. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, mine is regarding the weight loss for boxers explained. Are there any health risk involved, especially in the couple of hours, 24 hours losing an amount of weight? And maybe on a lighter note, Honourable Chairperson, it must be shared with us so we can lose quickly in a couple of hours.
No, Chair, I thought the transformation is quite clear. Everybody understands it. My worry is when we bring new things, because we have never spoken about that diversity is about youth. Or, at the moment, we measure transformation the way everybody understands it. But if certain people talk about diversity, it's fine. But in terms of fear, transformation is the way we understand it. I don't want us to end up saying we have resolved that the diversity, we should understand it by youth. We want to check whether the sporting codes or transformation, is it addressing previous disadvantaged communities. That is how we understand it. So at the moment, until we review, we incorporate diversity, because we've been talking about diversity at the ANC for donkey years, and we understand the context that we talk about diversity. So I just want us not to end up confusing departments that we are doing oversight on. We must not bring new things.
Another song. You don't do that. You must not repeat it once somebody is on the floor and you ask me question loud. You must know how to conduct yourself in the meeting. It's new what we are trying to do now. You're not just cowed while somebody on the floor, and you know that I'm always giving anyone who wants to do follow up. I don't know why now.
Okay. Chair, I apologize for doing that, but you know, one of the things that as a committee you tend to, the question was relevant for me to ask for diversity. I didn't say transformation. Now I was asking, because he's like responding to me, and I usually tell members not to respond to us as politicians. He must ask officials to respond, because he was responding to me this question, because I've asked, my question was, is the board diverse? I didn't say transformation. That was my question. And I went clearing myself with what is diversity. I didn't talk about, now he was responding to me that the ANC spoke about diversity. It was not about that to me. Thank you, Chair.
You know, you cannot correct the wrong thing by doing wrong things. Like, I was still waiting that the question and questions and follow-ups are posed to the our visitors. So if you felt that is responding to you, I was going to respond at the end as chair, because I'm monitoring, I'm listening. But now we are doing what you are not supposed to do, because we are not doing now a follow-up. We are responding to himself, which is, you are also wrong. So you can't do a one-man show. Can the deep, our colleagues respond on the follow-up questions?
Okay, Chairperson, no, thank you. Chair, I think in the questions, I will respond to what we readily can now. The questions that will require us to do proper and accurate verification will request, Chair, that you allow us to do that so that we don't later get accused of having misled the portfolio committee. The issue of diversity, I think it has been responded to. But I think the variable of age, face value, we do have a young person in the board. But maybe, Chair, let me suggest that we package it properly against the variables indicated. Youth, race, gender, and it is responsive to the question. And then we can send that, Chair, so that we don't thumbsuck it. On the structure, Chair, you know, there's something in human resources they would call approved and funded structure. So that is what is before the portfolio committee. But there are certain things that are called positions additional to establishment. It means that you create an interim position which is not in your approved and funded structure. So we can't show that there. And that is why I spoke to you that this is the approved and funded structure. But from time to time, you might have an interim position that you require for a particular purpose before you review the structure or without reviewing the structure. So the desire is not to mislead. The desire is to declare the approved and funded structure, and that is what is in the annual performance plan, and that is what has always been in our previous documents. So what I thought I was accounting, Chair, I was accounting for the question that why do you sit on compensation of employee budget when there is unemployment? What happens to those savings? So I thought when I was responding, that is what I was indicating, that no, this money is still redirected into compensation because we've got another post which is not in the approved and funded structure, but it's an interim post to service certain pressure points that we have. The issue of weight loss. The time for a boxer to lose weight, 24 hours, the final one is 2 hours. And within that 2 hours, it's amazing what they do, but there are inherent risks to it. So we try to manage those risks. That is why if it is a title fight and the stakes are very high, 31 days, 21 days, 14, 7, you monitor so that at least you make sure that he's not extremely out of. And then when it is within a reasonable margin, 2 hours you've lost weight, he will run around, some of them will do certain things, but it was the reason we have to do it proactively is to ensure that we don't push boxers into extreme dehydration ahead of a tournament. So you need to keep pushing them a little bit closer and so on, and that happens. I mean, right now, one of the latest that we have had was Azinga Fuzile, who in the previous weekend came in a bit heavier. And obviously when that has happened and the boy could not lose, or the girl could not lose weight within the 2 hours at the final weigh-in, the status of the title fight, if it's a title fight, then gets changed and so on. So that is what happens. But we try not to push them to that extreme, to a point where they starve themselves, they dehydrate themselves just to make weight. The structure, of the boxing awards, the money that goes into delivering boxing awards, you've got Boxing South Africa's injection into, you've got the host province injection. So in the previous year, it was Eastern Cape. The year before, it was KwaZulu-Natal. And then we were supposed to have the injection of the broadcaster, which unfortunately, during the last minute again, we received explanation that we can we, instead of putting money into, bring service through. And then you've got obviously the discounts that come from the host venue. But that is a question that I'm going to request, because it's got financials that I request that we package and we give you the figures after we've also extracted them properly from the province. But what I can tell you, Honorable Mhlongo, without a shadow of doubt, is that the principle of prudent management of resources is the one overarching consideration that we make when we approach this program. So in terms of the percentage of what we take from our allocation into this, I think that is what we request, that allow us to document that and bring it to you. But we actually make sure that we do not become disruptive to other program delivery responsibilities of ours when we deliver this program. So those two things, Chairperson, on diversity, that is what I request that we revert, and we can send this back even tomorrow, and as well as the budget on the boxing award. And I think, Chair, the issue that was raised earlier on about a need for us to look into our budget, I think, Chair, when you remember when we started, we indicated that among the new programs that we have brought in as strategic objectives, the issue of our funding model and our partnerships. Because what we've now acknowledged that we need to do is to ensure that we have a proper funding model that speaks to the funding structure of boxing. So we've brought that in because just on program three, we've got a program area on, or a sub-program area on our funding model, on revenue generation, on sponsorship. I think this speaks to the extent to which the board prioritizes to ensure that we assist Boxing SA to achieve at self-sustainability. So the points that the DG mentioned earlier on of working smarter, but also increasing the revenue, I think the tone of our annual performance 2017-18 does speak to that when you look at the new areas that we are bringing in. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Last, Chair, follow-up on the challenges. I didn't get a response to remedy all the age challenges. I think it was just, you didn't come to my rescue. Another question, Chair, but let me leave it, but, you know, prudence on finances, you know, you tend to, you know, you said you on the awards, on your presentation, the awards, you have sponsors. Now, late you say, no, you didn't get sponsors for this. And, you know, you tend to ask prudent in finances, but you said on your presentation it was clearly saying our awards are budgeted from sponsors, but now you said no. You just stated clearly that this time there was no sponsor. Your explanation. And I'm saying there's no prudent in your response above all. But nonetheless, let me leave it there, Chair.
Challenges.
No, I'm just trying to, sorry, Chair, I'm trying to go back to the slide on challenges first. Right, Chair, we had outlined a total of 8 challenges. The first one, Chair, I think it's an acknowledgement that the funding that we have vis-a-vis the total mandate of Boxing SA is incongruent. And I think there are a lot of other things that we could be doing which we haven't started doing. When you look at, for example, just the powers of Boxing South Africa, of the 25 areas that we're supposed to do, we haven't started touching all those because the budget allocation from our side does not respond to that. But what is our response to that? The funding model, because when you develop a funding model of an entity, you'll then look at what is the mandate, what are the things that we're supposed to be doing. If you were to do those things, what is your resource plan for achieving them? So that was what I think will speak to that. Inadequate and inconsistent boxing broadcast, I think we've elaborated this, Chair, that from the broadcast front, what are the challenges? Unaligned financial assistance by most municipalities and provincial departments when sponsoring boxing tournaments. This speaks, Chair, to what do we perceive as sometimes good intentions by a municipality or a province to sponsor boxing. But when they sponsor boxing, the quantum that they sponsor different promoters is inconsistent. A province assist one promoter, gives him 2 million. The same province, next time when another promoter requests to be assisted, it gives 250. So you can tell that while the intentions are good, but there's a need for us to engage with provinces to assist them to do that. And your biggest response, through your stakeholder engagement, interact with provinces, assist them to understand boxing dynamics, boxing priorities, and the specific areas of intervention they can make to help boxing grow. Inadequate capacity at provincial and regional level, I think I've spoken to this when I was responding to the question of Ndati Radihome on what structures do you have at a provincial level. And I even mentioned that the combat sport bill and its positioning as a Section 76 bill, we think that it will assist to ensure that you've got structures in boxing, but one also mentioned activities that are not happening at provincial level that we would love to see happening at provincial level, so that you don't need, when a tournament happens in Umdada, it gets sanctioned in Pretoria. Because remember, part of what is in the sanctioning is minute detail, like what is the closest hospital to that tournament. So if the person that sanctions is a person that knows the local dynamics, he's able to say the hospital that is sanctioned, that you are saying is your closest to this tournament that we are sanctioning, does not have certain services that are required to support the tournament, like a neurosurgical ward, those type of things. So I think when we talk about that capacity, that is what we are speaking about. The issue of female boxers, I think it has been elaborated again, that is a growing problem. Programmatic relations between us and BSA and SANABO, we've spoken to that. And the issue of dispute by some promoters, particularly your Eastern Cape promoters, with regard to their obligations to sanction levies. And when I mentioned it, I said that while non-compliance by some of the promoters, some of it is incapacity. Some of it is not incapacity, it's outright political outlook that disputes the status quo, that no, those regulations are not to be what they are. So that number seven, it speaks to that. And then capacity building challenges among most BSA licensees is our training and capacity building program, to ensure that we go into communities, we train our boxers for them to understand anti-doping dynamics, what to eat, what not to eat, how to lose weight, how to train smart, how to invest for the future, how to build themselves as brands through various interventions, so that they can attract sponsorships and endorsements. So around those challenges, Chair, those are the things that are critical things which the board says that we need to focus on and ensure that we address during the period 2018-2019. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I think perhaps to assist the committee, we should concede and agree with what Honorable Mutlongo say should happen, that we should bring both SANABO, the South African National Association for Boxing, and also BSA at the same time. Because some of the issues that are being raised and being put forward before BSA is not really their mandate in terms of the law. That is what a federation has got to do, because they are a regulatory body and they do not necessarily do what a federation has got to do. And secondly, the expectation that the BSA should actually organize tournaments is not allowed at law. If you read their act, that doesn't go together with that, because they can't be a referee and a player at the same time. They are referees. They are the people who sanction tournaments. But someone else must organize the tournament and come before them and apply for that tournament to be approved. But who's that person? And which beckons the serious issue? That's the promoter. They license promoters, but in truth, of all the promoters, if we were to tell the truth, and which is the elephant in the room and which no one wants to touch, if we look at the promoters they have licensed, we will not count more than five who are really what they are, promoters, who really can promote a boxing match. Truth be told, boxing is a promotion. And because the state moves from the premise that says that, and it's a serious question that needs a policy answer to it. Can the state subsidize capital? This is the real question that must be answered, because essentially more and more it appears that the expectation is that government must fund promoters in order for them to promote tournaments. But promotion is purely a business. The people who do it so that they make money out of it. They pocket all the money and so on. And in the absence of the regulations, which clearly Boxing South Africa has got to address now with us, in the absence of the regulations really having a scale and a determination as to the minimum purse amount, I mean, if you hear the things that are being asked for, that a boxer who fights for a four-rounder must be paid 1,000 rand per round, and they make 4,000 rand, and the municipality gives the promoter an amount of 250,000 rand to promote that tournament. The rest of the money goes to other things, the hotel, this, that, paying the doctor, and all of that. And you also look at how much ring officials get to be paid to do the work, and the timekeeper, and all of those type of things. It isn't surprising that often you find that the ring official is paid like 150 rand for timekeeping per round. And if it's a four-rounder, how much do they really make? And essentially, there isn't money in the system. And the truth be told is that all over the world, boxing promotion is driven by sponsorship. But in order for sponsors and companies to come on board and finance that, the essential things must be there. The professionalism must be there. The ability to package a proper proposal that can be considered worthy to be sponsored must come there. The promoter must be able to knock into the boardrooms of a corporate SA and say, here I have a concept and this is what I can give. And the quality of the boxers we have and the quality of the show and the entertainment value of what that match is must compel a spectator to decide, I'm going to buy a ticket and go see that. But how many of our promoters are able to do that? And often than not, the municipalities, the provinces, and everybody. It's not like in the Northern Cape, there's never been an attempt by the provincial government to invest in boxing promotion. They have before. But the question is value for money. Have they really derived anything in return out of such investment they have made? Indeed, it has not turned out that way. And as a result, the appetite by provinces and municipalities to continuously invest has actually dissipated. And do you blame Boxing South Africa for that? Is it in their mandate to be helping promoters to really promote good tournaments? The truth be told, it is in their mandate, and they do not have the allocation or the resources to do that. So, and even where we had ourselves as a department gone out of our way to try and help some promoters emerge, what have we seen? Graham sitting there in his other cap as a head of regulatory affairs there by SuperSport knows the little horror stories of where the first year we engaged with them to say, please put these people on TV by hook or crook. You know, SuperSport, you're scheduled to watch a thing and you can even pre-record it and go away and shop, and when you come back, you expect it to be there. And that thing on the Explorer, when you press record next to the icon, you expect that by 3 o'clock it starts recording, because that's when the match is scheduled. But if the promoter is not ready by 3, and the cameras are there by the ringside waiting for the boxers to start fighting, you are actually recording nothing. And that doesn't go well with the quality of what subscribers expect to see and to pay for on SuperSport. And that will force SuperSport then, if there is no such professionalism, that the match is scheduled to start at 3 o'clock and it must start, then SuperSport will not agree to buy again. And this is the reality of what we have had to see. But how many of these people are indeed business persons? Because that's what you need to be an entrepreneur to run this thing. And so as we blame Boxing South Africa, we should also understand what the key mandate of the entity is, and not have expectations that it will do things that are not within it. And that perhaps must be directed to us as to saying, in as far as boxing development is concerned, what are we doing and to what extent? But it will also go then to say, what are the business initiatives and development and incentives that are put in place to make sure that boxing also diversifies? Because the challenge is that of the five I said, you can't even count more. If you look in there, previously it used to be Branko. It is Rodney Behrman, Golden Gloves. It is who? Aha. Then you will have Ayanda Matidi and so on. You will not count more, but our worry has always been the predominance of white people only, in as far as this is concerned. And that's why we started Boxing Is Back, with the view of empowering black promoters, first and foremost, and we had really attempted. The fact that today we can count two or three of the black promoters who really can hold their own. And you will see that those tournaments, where they happen where those promoters are promoting them. Because everybody else, even if SABC runs an open tender, how many of these promoters are able to respond and put up worthy bouts and worthy tournaments? And only those make money, and only those really win the tenders. So we have to do something about that. And I think it is an issue that we can talk about, in as far as what incentives can be put in place and what training programs, because really it's entrepreneurial training program. So, and I don't mean to demean anybody, but if somebody who believes that because they were once a boxer, and now that they have retired as a boxer, they can now become a promoter, and that the transition is automatic, and that because they were once in the ring, they can now put up a good proposal which they can sell to Supersport or otherwise, that logic doesn't follow. But almost 80% of our promoters are like that. And I don't think that they are there in name and on paper, that they have registered with Boxing South Africa. But truth be told, our country really has, strictly speaking, just five promoters.
On that note, thank you, Honorable DG, and then Boxing South Africa. We are thinking that by virtue of getting out of your father's house, getting your own house is an improvement. Please keep it up, not going back to your father's house. So now we are in the mother's house. So it was a lengthy debate, but because we are in the committee who's having an interest in sport, so that's why it took so much. But thank you. At least we're seeing that we are getting there, and we're proud of that. We came in this committee when we were not even having offices, and then the department saying that I come back home. So now we are trying your best. Keep it up. Another minister, they came with those badly coming back to your house. We couldn't have to do anything because of so many litigation to their board, and they didn't have anything. But when this department took them, the very same committee were a bit harsh, saying that now we are taking themselves, how are they going to understand and grow up? But today it shows that the department knows what they were trying to do. With those words, I will pass to another presentation from SAIDS. Thank you very much, Boxing South Africa.
Thank you.
Honourable members, let's start with the other leadership of the state. I'm hoping that I won't say that we must give minutes or whatever. This is your day and our day. The important part of it, when we finish off a department, the Honourable Minister is having to go to the NCOP, but at least we'll be knowing what is going on once we are here to come and present. States.
Honourable Chairperson, Mam Dlulane, the Honourable Minister, it's now good day. We prepared this for good morning. It's now good day. Honourable Members of Parliament, good day. And on behalf of the South African Institute of Drug Transport, allow me to thank you for extending this invitation to us. Allow me at the outset to apologize on behalf of our chairperson and apologize for not sending in a written apology. Our CEO, Mr. Khalid Kalan, for their absence today. Both men have long-standing engagements, which could unfortunately not be changed to a short notice. My name is Muziwake Kobose, a member of the newly appointed board. I'm a medical practitioner working at Mpulo Community Health Center in Soweto. Accompanying me is our chief financial officer, Mr. Onken Wane, who some of the honorable members have met before, and our deputy chairperson, Mr. Graham Abrahams. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation, Mr. Ngwane will be doing the formal presentation to you, but permit me please to highlight some areas that I think are pertinent to the work of this. We've already had the opportunity to meet with the Honorable Minister of Sports and Recreation, Umam Togo Tasa, to whom we did a presentation on the work of state. We as the board are grateful to the Honorable Minister and her office for having granted us the opportunity to present to her and her office. Despite challenges faced by state's refinancial constraints, the newly appointed board pledges to continue and improve on the good work our predecessors and staff have done in maintaining the integrity and excellent work done by SAIDS. We believe that with the support of the Department of Sport and Recreation, we will achieve our goals. Honorable Members of Parliament, we have received promising news from the Department of Sports and Recreation through the Director General regarding the challenges with the Bloemfontein Laboratory. This will alleviate state's financial constraints, which might be made worse by decreased funding from the Lottery Board. The NVCA's decreased funding from the Lottery Board will further impact on state's education programs. We are striving to achieve a thin audit, not only as a directive from the Department of Sports and Recreation, but as one of the board's objectives. As the board, we have noted the achievement of our athletes, especially the junior ones too. We strive to intensify education and awareness programs to keep the country's athletes clean from doping, with the emphasis on healthy living and playing fair. Chairperson, I will now hand over to Mr. Ngwane to conduct our presentation. Meanwhile, I want to thank you once again for giving us this opportunity.
Afternoon, Chair, and the members of the audit of the portfolio committee. And I would also like to extend my greetings to the new minister who I haven't had the pleasure to meet, and the rest of the members in the room. I will try to keep my presentation as brief as possible, seeing as we have time constraints. In terms of the APP and the strat plan, our strat plan is shaped by our mandate that we get from our Drug Free Sport Act, number 14 of 1997, as amended in 2005. The core strategic objectives are reflected in the Act are governance and finance, drug testing, anti-doping education, resource management, and international collaboration. Our governance and finance objectives are shaped by compliance with the PFMA and King IV regulation. Drug testing, anti-doping education, and resource management are shaped by the compliance with the World Anti-Doping and the National Anti-Doping Rules. International collaboration is shaped by the UNESCO Convention Against Doping in Sports, to which the SA government is a signatory. There have been no substantive changes to the performance key delivery environment as envisaged in the strategy plan. However, due to austerity measures and the implementation of aspects of the state's risk mitigation plan, selected performance indicators have been reduced due to the following issues that we have experienced in the past. Our lab in South Africa, which is situated in Bloemfontein, lost its accreditation 2 years ago. This resulted in increased cost of testing as we had to send our samples overseas. This also increased our transportation cost as now we had to send samples overseas instead of local. And due to exchange rates and things like that, our cost increased dramatically. And also we have what we call a stagnant budget, in that our budget year on year changes by inflation only. There is no extra funding that has been allocated to us. So we work with what we have. In terms of the budget for 2018, based on MMTF budget estimates, we have a budget of 30 million. And of that 30 million, 24 million is from the SRC grant. And the rest is lottery funding, which is ad hoc funding, which is not guaranteed. Our lottery funding is due to expire at the end of this financial year. We have allocated the SRSA grant according to the following categories, which will be the performance objectives in the APP. We've allocated 12 million to doping control, 11 million to admin, which includes compliance and financial management, and we've allocated R1 million to education. Education is supplemented by lottery funding, which is part of the reason the allocation to education is small, because the rest of the programs we have in education have been covered by the lottery fund, which is due to expire. So in forthcoming years, we might have a challenge there unless we apply for more funding from the lottery, and it's not guaranteed that we'll receive that funding. And you can only apply for funding once a year. But we'll apply for funding going forward. In terms of the APP, we have three operational program divisions. We have admin, which includes international relations, finance, and compliance. We have doping control, results management, and investigation. In program three, we have education, research, and outreach. Now, I'll go into the detail of the three different programs and highlight what we do there. Under admin, we have the compliance part of it, which is our quarterly reporting to SRSA and to Treasury as well, and in turn to the lottery, as well for the period that we have funding with them, we have to report on a quarterly basis. We also want to achieve a clean audit opinion, which is also governed by being compliant as well. And also part of admin is our international relations, that is the relationship we have with the body we belong to, which is WADA, and fellow organizations in Africa that are the same as us. Under doping control, results management investigation, we have our testing, which is the urine testing tests that we carry, that we perform, blood tests and EPO. We also have continuous process improvement, and that includes the annual training and our assessment of our doping control offices, because we want people who are competent to perform the testing, basically. And we also now have collaboration and sharing of information with law enforcement, specifically the HOCS and Crime Intelligence Directorate, to build cases against manufacturers and traffickers of steroids. Then under education, research and outreach, we have outreach events and workshops to schools. We also have education seminars and talks to university sports entities and professional and national sports federations. We also have cooperative partnerships around research and education programs within the African continent with our counterparts in sports. With the budget that we have been allocated with by SRSA and with the programs that we have chosen in our APP, we at SACE believe that we are confident we have sufficient resources and the human capital to implement the APP for the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you so much. There's no addition, isn't it? Okay. Honorable members, that's the presentation of SACE. SACE, I've seen you carrying some things. I was in one area during another weekend where they were assisting kids with a test of drugs. So I wanted you to show us, how do you do? Do you still have your equipment?
Yes, I do. Yes, Chair, I have the equipment in front of me.
Can you show us in order that we must do follow-up questions on how do you do these things?
Okay, what I have with me, well, this kit is expired, which means we can't use it. But what I have with me is the kit that we use to collect urine samples from eggs when we test them. Basically, what happens at an event or even at home with the SVP is the coordinator takes two of these with him or her, and they put on the table all three of them, and the SVP must select themselves which kit they want to use. And it's usually sealed with a plastic cover. The SVP would open the kit themselves. And you also give them what you call a coalition vessel. This is where you connect the urine sample. The SVP opens this themselves, basically. And when they go to the bathroom to go pee, a chaperone is with them, because you need to see that the urine is actually coming from them, basically. The chaperone or the computer officer does not touch the equipment. It's only the SVP. The SVP would then collect the urine in this collection vessel. Then they will come back, and you have two bottles here. Bottle A and bottle B. The SVP opens the bottle themselves, basically. And they will pour the sample they collected themselves into the bottle. But while they're doing this, someone there observing them. And then so that they don't do any funny thing, they will pour the samples in this bottle and they will close it themselves. And once you close it, the bottle is supposed to be when you close it, and that no one else can open it but the lab. But I think, yeah, it's closed, but you can't close it. Now to open it, you have to break the bottle, basically. And you pour part of the sample here and part of the sample here. And then once both bottles are closed, the DCO takes them and puts them in a secure bag that is temperature controlled. They have a thing that is called a data logger that checks the temperature of the bag itself. It's temperature controlled and it's cushioned so the bottle doesn't break. Then the bag is sealed in front of the exit. The bag is sealed, and then the bag is before it would be taken straight to the lab. But because now we send our samples overseas and sending samples there is expensive, we send our samples in batches. So what we do now is the bag comes into our premises, and then we would put the samples into a freezer until we can send the batch to the lab. Basically, so that is how the process works.
Okay. Thank you so much. so much.
Sorry.
Honorable Minister, I was worried when I was watching the TV and I was thinking where SAIDs were when I've seen that 200 screen that disqualified there. But unfortunately, it was not about drugs. So I was worried, but where were you guys in order that we sent to Odona there without having taken wrong substances? So you came with this apparatus of yours once I was worried then, but we did discover that no, it was not about the intake of wrong substances. From there, we were students. Sometimes we jump a car to kitchen, and then they disqualify him. So thank you so much to come with this. Some of us, one other time, said, assisted, especially myself, Honorable Minister, and the colleagues, when I was distributing kits. They were so organized in that area. They called subs and even super sports and seeds, sent some people where I was delivering the kids. And then they've shown us so many things that you were not aware. You can stay with your kid not knowing that is taking drugs. And they were showing us things that would be thinking that it's just a foil which was dropped in his or her bedroom. And then funny things, not pipes, but something as if pipes. So these things are very important that through our sport, we need even to go to communities, teach them by bringing some all these substances that they are using when they are taking drugs. But thank you so much with this display. Except that I'm not yet having understand. I don't know, in your presentation, you have a query that we wanted that there must be a legislation which allowed that the SAIDs must go and do this testing, because initially we've heard that some parents, they don't want that SAIDs must go to their schools, especially the Model C schools. They don't want that SAIDs must go there to test their kids. And we propose then that we need a legislation to be put in order that any time they must be allowed. Maybe we'll hear during questionnaire, and the department is going to tell how far are they with that legislation. With those words, thank you for the experiments that you are showing us in your spaces. Honorable members, that's your time. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Musi, Honorable Bear, Honorable Rahom, on that order, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the shortest presentation I've ever heard. I wanted to find out, Chair, I think we owe ourselves to do a diligent oversight. We wanted to go to Bloemfontein, and now again the issues. I don't know how to tackle it, because we must know exactly. You know, I was just checking. Ethiopia, they're ahead of us. They're testing in Ethiopia compared to us in South Africa. And it's costly for us to send, as you stated, to send the test abroad or wherever that you send them. What mechanism do we have for us to make sure that we intensify for us to have a quality standard lab in Bloemfontein? And maybe what are the gaps that we must be aware of where we can assist, or exactly if it's resources, more resources, it must be stated clearly, more resources, what is it, how much is it? That is my question only on this, because And another question, I wanted to find out, do you have any MOU or any relationship with all sporting code, all 42, if I'm not mistaken, how many are they? You know, do you have not just a relationship in a layman understanding, but interaction, meetings, engagements, and all that? Thank you, Chair, for now. But our last question, Chair, your finances, man. Are you assuring us that you'll get a clean audit? And issues of credit cards, let's hope that not happening. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Mose.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I quickly just want to check as to when is it necessary for them to do a urine test? And when do they do blood test? That's the first one. But the second one, Chairperson.